Now, when this sermon's notes go up on the web, if the IRS has one of those bots searching the web for misbehaving ministers, this should set off an alarm because it is titled, How You Should Vote in 2016. How You Should Vote in 2016. However, they and you do not have to worry. I am not going to put our tax-deductible status at risk by endorsing either candidate. Although, I'll be up front, if I thought God wanted me to, I would, regardless of the implications, but I don't think he does. I can tell you that the two main candidates are both horribly flawed from a Christian perspective. Horribly flawed. And I suspect that if I spent time checking out the other main ones, the Green and the Libertarian, they probably would not fare well from a biblical perspective either. Instead, this sermon is not about Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump. It's about you and me. How should you vote? I'm sorry, I'm a little off my game here. How should you vote, not who you should vote for? And I'll be honest, this election year is sucking the life out of me. So I'm going to keep this short. I'm going to keep it short. And I could just skip preaching about it, but just as Paul, quote, did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God, that's Acts 20:27, I will not avoid painful subjects. And the first time I wrote about how Christians should vote was in 2010, October 30, 2010 to be exact, and I called it a Christian Voter's Guide. It starts off on a bit of a tangent, but it's an important one, where I noted that people always, they always vote based on their worldview. You can claim whatever you want, but we are not are divided when it comes to our worldviews internally. We are not divided internally when it comes to our own worldview. And when a Christian claims to separate their political views from their religious ones, they just have a different worldview. That's their worldview. You can't compartmentalize. That's their worldview, and they have a different worldview than the one who thinks that the two must walk hand in hand, that your political views and your spiritual views must walk hand in hand. And by the way, the latter one is actually correct. More on that shortly. I wrapped up with this. The point of my tangent is that if there is no absolute authority, then no one can claim one stance is better than another. So don't accept that somehow your religiously based political opinion is worth less than an atheist or any other worldviews. Going with A, no matter what your worldview will inform how you vote, and B, that no secular belief is inherently more valuable than a religious one, then as a Christian, how should you vote? What issues should drive you toward one candidate and away from another? Is it wrong to be a single issue voter? For instance, Christians are often treated as unintelligent because of the high priority many of us put on the evil of abortion. How could we refuse to vote for a politician who is pro-choice if, outside that, we agree with them almost 100%? How unenlightened. Now, in 2016, that's what I wrote back in 2010. In 2016, we have to expand these questions with, how morally abhorrent does a candidate have to be to disqualify them from your vote? How morally abhorrent does a candidate have to be to disqualify them from your vote? That's a sad statement, but I believe that is true this year. Not only because both are so fatally flawed, but because we have Christians publicly, and that's important, we have Christians publicly judging other Christians based on who they support. Now, the answers to those questions that I just brought up, Lily, will not be 100% clear in the Bible, but the principles that should form those answers are, the first is, you must vote your conscience. You must vote your conscience. And that's implicit in what I've said before, is that ultimately, you've got to follow that. In the 2010 piece, I quoted parts of Romans 14:23, parts of Romans 14:5, and James 2:18 through 20. Let's look at a couple of them. Romans 14, let's look at verse 23. We're only going to read a portion of it. Romans 14:23. And don't close it, because we're going to do Romans 14:5 after, so don't lose your spot. 14:23. If you look at the last sentence there, it says, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Now let's look at Romans 14, verse 5. So back just a little bit. 14. Verse 5. And again, only going to read the last sentence of that. Romans 14:5. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And before we continue, let's look at James 2:18 through 20. James 2:18 through 20. And by the way, I do have caution in this one, keeping it short. I'd love to spend more time like in a Bible study and talk about the context of each one. I do understand that many of these are kind of out of context, but I think that the application that I'm using is still applicable. Paul may be talking about, say, how people worship God, but the same things that he says apply with how we judge people in other conditions. So James 2:18 through 20. Are we there? But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, what faith apart from works, that faith apart from works is useless?" Little harsh words there. Short version, you cannot separate what you do in the ballot box from your faith. You cannot separate what you do in that ballot box from your faith. And bringing it in line with the special needs of the 2016 election cycle, you cannot separate how you act before the election from your faith. If you try to do that, separate your faith from your actions, all you are doing is showing who your true God is. And if you look at my sermon notes, you will notice that when I write out the word God, it's with a little g, not a big G in that case. In that case, if you separate your faith from how you behave, either before the election or in the ballot, using the ballot box, in that case, your God, with a little g, is either you or the devil. And by the way, if it's you, it is the devil. This is a binary choice here. You either follow God or you follow the devil. They are not equals, but it is a binary choice. So the first principle that I'm going to go with, I know that I said earlier you need to vote your conscience. The first principle that I put in my list, which goes in line with it, you cannot separate your behavior before or in the ballot box from your faith. Does that make sense? Anybody disagree with that? It's okay to disagree. I'm not always right, just 99.9999% of the time. You right, Michelle, that's true? I've been wrong at least once in our marriage, right? Just once? Twice? Few times. Okay, you cannot separate your behavior before or in the ballot box from your faith. And that behavior angle that we're talking about there connects the first principle to the second. In this case, The second has to do with your behavior toward others, especially others in the body of Christ. If you still have Romans, I probably should have told you, go back to Romans. We're going to go back to Romans 14:5. We're actually going to go back a little bit more. So Romans 14:5. We're going to go to 14:4. And then we're going to actually read all the way to verse 12. Romans 14:4, all the way through verse 12. You guys a moment to get there? And by the way, I should note that Cisco did a really good job today in Bible study reading. But I'm not going to make you read so many verses this time. Fair enough? Okay, 14:4, and we're going to continue through verse 12. Who are you? Please listen carefully. These are important words. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. For the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes that day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats it in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So, then each of us will give an account of himself to God. As I mentioned earlier, this is out of the voting context, and it's clear that Paul is not talking about voting here, but the principle is applicable. Do not judge your brother or sister in Christ just because they are going to vote for the other candidate. Do not judge your brother or sister in Christ just because they are going to vote for the other candidate. Who are you to judge the servant of another? In this case, that means who are you to judge other brothers and sisters in Christ about disputable matters? And the gotcha we have, folks, is that people convince themselves they're not disputable when they still are disputable. It happens in theology, and it happens in politics. But as a whole, especially things like politics, they are disputable matters. Now, please don't get me wrong. I am not saying that we should never judge. That is swinging the pendulum too far the other direction. Scripture says otherwise. But deciding someone is a reprobate, that they're a reprobate solely because they are going to vote, or worse, actually support Clinton or Trump, is not judging rightly. That is not right judgment. And if we are honest, I think we'll admit in 2016, most of the unright judgment is aimed at the supporters of a candidate. I'm not going to mention names, but there's one candidate, or if there's righteous indignation towards that candidate's supporters, it's one direction. But it doesn't matter whether it's for one or the other. That is not judging rightly. Before you decide to pass judgment, be sure the Lord has called you to do it. I'm not going to find scriptures that show that, but I would just say, be careful. I've said that it is okay to judge now and then, but God does not call all of us to judge all the time. Make sure the Lord has called you. And be sure. That brings us to our next principles. We won't read all of them. I'm going to read a couple to you first, then we'll look one up. John 7:24 says this. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. John 8:7. How many people here are familiar with a woman caught in adultery? Familiar with that? Yep. Carol, that's good. That means that you've paid attention to your Bible. I appreciate that. interesting line in that one. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up to them and said to them, I really am off today. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. The first to throw the stone at her has to be somebody who has no sin. Let's look at the next one together. This one is Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look through verses from verse 1 through verse 5. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Damien, you want to try to do that one with me? Damien, you want to do that one with me? And don't worry, Cisco, I'm not going to put you on the spot. But if you want to do this next week, you can let me know, okay? Okay, so Matthew 7, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, right there. Right to there. Yep, go for it, 1 through 5.
So I start a judge?
Yep.
A judge, not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see a speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? If you...
You hypocrites.
Hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Very good. Nice done. Nicely done. Nicely done. And then one more verse I won't make you look up, but if you look at Leviticus 19:15, it says, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. Notice, either one's bad. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. The next principles. If you are going to judge a candidate or the supporters, judge rightly. That should be simple, isn't it? If you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, judge rightly. If you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, don't be a hypocrite. Is that easy again? If you say one should leave the race because of such and such, then you should say the other should leave the race if they have done the equivalent. If you are going to judge a candidate or the supporters, judge all candidates and supporters with the same criteria. You're Christians. You're supposed to use right judgment, not partial judgment. And that's why I like the Leviticus one, because that makes it clear. In today's world, we think it's actually fair to treat the poor differently than the rich are the bad guys, the poor are the good guys, so it's okay if we show favoritism poor. God says no, it's never okay to show favoritism. We have to judge equally. In all honesty, the last two that I just mentioned are included in if you're going to judge a candidate or the supporters, judge rightly. It's pretty simple. There are lots of ways, please listen to this, there are lots of ways to judge unrightly, but there's really only one way to judge rightly. There are lots of ways to blow it. There's only one way to do it right. And perhaps the plentiful biblical cautions about judging are because we are so prone to all those ways to blow it when it comes to passing judgment. And I'll raise my hand, folks. I read something this morning as I was following politics, and I realized that I assumed something that worked well if it agreed with me, but not so well on the other side. And the other side might have been right. I hadn't considered it. And I did leave out one more principle that we can take from those verses. But before I say it, let's look at Matthew again. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Augie, do you want to try to do this one? Matthew 6, come on up. 14 and 15.
So, one verse is like...
Come on up. You here? Okay, you got it?
Where is it?
So it's right here. And folks, remember, this is how he taught us to pray. So it's right after Jesus taught us to pray. Right there, 14 and 15.
For if you forgive others their trespasses,
your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others for their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you very much. What are the next two principles? Next two principles. If you are going to judge a candidate or the supporters, remember, you will be judged as you judge. If you are going to judge a candidate or the supporters, remember, you will be forgiven as you forgive. Did you hear those last two? If you are going to judge a candidate or the supporters, remember, you will be judged as you judge. And if you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, remember, you will be forgiven as you forgive. I hope these last two principles give you pause. They should. God sees everything that you, that I, that we do. God has made it clear how we should act. God knows your, God knows my, God knows our hearts. You cannot separate your behavior before or in the ballot box from your faith. Do not judge your brother or sister in Christ just because they're going to vote for the other candidate. If you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, judge rightly. If you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, don't be a hypocrite. If you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, judge all candidates and supporters with the same criteria. If you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, remember, you will be judged as you judge. And finally, if you are going to judge a candidate or their supporters, remember, you will be forgiven as you forgive. Honestly, folks, all these principles, and any I would add, and I have plenty more I could add, trust me, all these principles can be summed up in a single principle. How should you vote in 2016? Act like a Christian. So simple. But we need to repeat it over and over. Act like a Christian. Not just during this especially painful election year, in everything you do, act like a Christian. Because if you don't, then maybe you aren't. And then God's righteous judgment at the end, or your end, won't work so well out for you.